There we go. Now I'm recording. Hit the record button, Mike. Good to be with you today. I've got a little congestion in my throat. I think it's probably allergy related. However, I tweeted this and posted this on Facebook. If you go to our website, which is right there, BethelChurchMo.com, you'll be able to see the Twitter post that I put out. There is a member of our church who was here Sunday she woke up in the middle of the morning, early morning, like 1 or 2 o'clock, body aches, fever, all of that stuff. So on Monday, this person went and was tested. The test came back positive for COVID, and from what I understand, there is another member now that has tested positive for the COVID virus. So, everybody that was here, it's possible that that could be spread throughout our congregation. I'm praying that it doesn't. I don't want that to happen. But it did. And so we didn't have church last night. I wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody stayed away from everybody. And this Sunday, we will stream our service, but it will be a very, very limited, number of people here. And so just pray for Bethel, because it's a real disease. It really is. This is now 3 people that I know of that has all of the symptoms of COVID. One person told me that they couldn't even taste their toothpaste, because one of the symptoms is you lose your sense of taste and I think smell. But anyway, the body aches and whatever goes on with COVID, it's a pretty bad disease. We've had someone, a person in our church, their mother died of COVID. So, we had it in our church, and now we have to take the precautions to make sure that nobody else gets it. We have some elderly people in our church, and that is one of our primary concerns, is that the elderly people do not get the COVID virus. Because the elderly people don't handle it very well. Their body is weak. Their immune system is weak. Everything about them is weak. And so just pray for the ones who are sick. Pray for those who are here in our church Sunday that it doesn't go beyond the 2 people that are currently dealing with the COVID virus. All right, we are asking for your prayers. I preached on prayer Sunday, and I really needed that. I needed to preach that sermon because I need to pray more. I need to talk to my Father more. I need to have communication line open with God. And that's the amazing, absolutely amazing thing that I like, is that I can talk to God personally through the mediator, Jesus Christ. I can talk to God while all the other saints in the world are also talking to God, maybe at the same time. How does God do that? I don't know, but He is God. Somebody say amen. He is God. I love Him. Now, let's do this today. I woke up early one day this week, but probably about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, something like that. So I got my tablet and pulled open the Bible. And for some reason, I wanted to know how many chapters in the Bible, or how many books in the Bible, that's what I'm trying to say, how many books in the Bible have a chapter 33? I never thought about that before. Now, I'm going to run through some things that I've shared with you before to kind of give you the idea of that number 33 and how it sort of shows up in the world and in the Bible. And what I can tell you is there's always a duality about numbers in the Bible. Like, for instance, the number 13. We know that God said in Revelation 17, in all capital letters, God called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. There's 13 words there. Okay, she is a harlot who sells love. If you want her love, you must give her something in order to get that love. However, God loves us without us giving him anything. And so the phrase love of God is in the King James Bible exactly 13 times. And then you think of the charity chapter. What chapter is that? 1 Corinthians 13. So, to me, you have Jesus walking around with 12 disciples. There's 13 people there. And does he love them? Yes, absolutely. You have the 12 tribes. And God, in the form of the pillar of fire or pillar of cloud by day, with the Israelites, you have the 12 tribes plus God, 13. So there's always a duality. So you think of the number 33. We know that in Masonry, and I'll show you that. In Masonry, it's a big number. And in the Scriptures, and I'll show you that in a minute, but I'm going to go through some things about the number 33, and then we're going to go to the chapters, we're going to go to the books in the Bible that have chapter 33 in it, and we're going to read them. Is that okay? That we just read the Word of God? Is that all right with you? That's all right with me. There's a lot of things going on in this world. I mean, this world is in such a state of turmoil. In our own country, you have people who absolutely hate the president, but he's done something that no other president of this country has ever done. He is, and I know some of you are going to disagree with me, he's a peacemaker. A peacemaker. He worked out a deal where there can be peace in the Middle East, the Jews and the Arabs getting along together so that their soldiers, our soldiers, don't have to die in some sort of conflict. Okay? So I know there's just so much going on in the world, but let's just spend some time in the Word of God. And then what we'll do is we'll look at these chapter 33s and all these books, and you might see the duality. You might see the Antichrist, the beast, or you'll see Christ in there, because that number relates to both of them. All right, now let me show you this. Put this on the screen, push that button, there we go, voila. This is from the movie Groundhog Day. And if you remember, if you've ever seen this movie, Bill Murray plays a weatherman. He goes to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, where they have that groundhog coming out. And does he see a shadow, or if he doesn't see a shadow? I don't ever remember whether or not he sees a shadow means 6 more weeks of winter, or if he sees a shadow, it doesn't mean 6. I have no idea. And I think they make that up. I do. I don't think they monitor the gopher and say, Oh, look, he saw a shadow, so therefore, anyway. So Bill Murray goes to Punxsutawney, and he doesn't want to be there because he's arrogant, he's full of himself. And what he's doing is he is reliving the same day over and over and over again. And I mean, I read an article about it on Wikipedia, and I think one of the producers or the director said he had done this hundreds of years. They didn't display all of that in the movie, but he keeps reliving the 33rd day of the year, February 2nd. And he says, I'm a god. He says that while he's talking to one of his fellow newscasters or whatever. She's the director. And it's all about his transformation from being a jerk to being a really good guy. It's like in Freemasonry. You climb the ladder, you climb the steps, you go through the 32 degrees, and then you get to the 33rd degree. You have to be invited to that. And it represents the Antichrist. Okay? And it even shows up. That's the look at, I did a close up there of the microphone that somebody has, and it has the number 33 on it. It's like channel 33. That was done on purpose. Why did the director or the producer of this movie pick this 33rd day of the year for him to keep reliving and becoming a god, knowing everything? Okay? That was done on purpose. On the 33rd day of the year, there is it's a cross-quarter day for witches, pagans, Satanists, things like that. It's called Imbolc. And what that means is it's in the belly, and it has to do with like a child being born. Like being born again. Let me read. You know what? I'm right here in Peter. I've got my Bible right here. Let's see here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So, it's that 33rd day of the year has to do with a regeneration of some kind, or bringing something back to life, or the birth of a child. And I think that's very important. Let's see here. The movie and the event, the real event, where exactly 33 miners go down into this mine and they are trapped in there. But they are rescued. So the symbolism is they built this cage, this round cage, and they drilled down into the area where these 33 miners were. They were able to send them food and water and medicine, things like that. And then one at a time, they rescued all 33 of these men. And the imagery of that is like the beast is in the pit. And by the way, do you remember what they called the cage where they pulled them out of that chamber? Do you remember what they called it? The Phoenix. And the idea of the Phoenix is that he's down in the depths of the earth, he's down in the fire, and he's regenerated and resurrected from the ashes. And that was the symbolism of it. And I'm just amazed at this, because we know that there's no man or society or, you know, secret group or anything like a cabal or anything like that that can make that happen that way. Absolutely stunning that it happened that way. But anyway, and by the way, iTunes deliberately released the movie. You could pre-order it. This was back in 2016. On February 2nd, that's Groundhog Day. That's the 33rd day of the year that they released this movie through iTunes. I'm going to hit a button on that one. This is one of the Terminator movies where Sarah Connell and Kyle Reese traveled from 1984 to 2017. That's 33 years that they traveled into the future to find that John Connor has become a hybrid and has built the new Skynet, the artificial intelligence, which they call in this scene the Holy Grail. And they also refer to its launch as a child being born. Think about it. When Jesus was born, and I probably have notes on this, when Jesus was born in Nazareth, when Herod asked his scholars, where is he born? Now, where's this one that's born king of the Jews? Because Herod was going to kill him. And the scholars then went to the 33rd book of the Bible, Micah. And it said that he's in Bethlehem. Okay? The movie, Man of Steel, the imagery is absolutely incredible. Because Kal-El, Superman, is told by Jor-El, his father, and the word El means God in Hebrew. And it was two Jewish men that created the character of Superman. Joel Schuster and Jerry Siegel. But anyway, in this movie, The Man of Steel, Jor-El tells Kal-El, his son, he said, you can be the bridge between our world and their world. Meaning, we're from the heavens, we're from the stars, we're from, you know, the galaxies, we're up in the heavens. And we're going to bridge and make contact with humanity through Kal-El. It's like, it's a mockery of God sending his only begotten son down to earth to redeem mankind. I mean, bum, bum, bum. So notice this, Genesis chapter 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. That's exactly 46 words. And in the movie, they show a picture of Superman's earthly father, Jonathan Kent, and he died exactly at the age of 46, if you do the math, 1951 to 1997, 46. Now, in this scene, Superman, Kal-El, he's with the military here, and of course he's got Lois Lane there, and he's looking at those guys. And he's saying, you don't have to worry about me. I've been on this planet 33 years. Bah, 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 bah. 33 years. He was 33 years old. And he's going to offer himself as a sacrifice to save mankind. That imagery was all in this movie. They filmed Clark Kent in front of a mural of Jesus Christ praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, deciding whether or not he's going to go and give himself as a sacrifice to save the planet. Absolutely insane. Now, I'm going to skip that. The 33rd book of the Bible, but thou Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. In other words, Christ has always been. He was even before the creation. He is now and he always will be. He is God, in other words. God was born among men in Bethlehem. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 4, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem in Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, in the NIV, they alter that verse to say, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And they're wanting you to believe in the NIV that Jesus was not always, even before the creation, that he had an origin when God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? Absolutely, absolutely insane. Oh, by the way, Masonry uses that number 33. Ordo ab chao, which means order comes from chao, which we know is chaos. But chaos is a Greek word that describes the bottomless pit, the void. Order comes out of the void, the pit, where the beast is right now. You have 32 teeth. But you also have a tongue. I have a tongue. And that's how we make speech. So 32 teeth with your tongue makes what? 33. The word tongue is 33 times in the New Testament of the King James Bible. Now, think of it like this. A wholesome tongue represents Christ. A wicked tongue, the Antichrist. So look at these verses. 2 Samuel 23:2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Remember, that's related to the number 33. Psalm 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Psalm 35:28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalm 37:30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh out of judgment. The mouth equals the tongue surrounded by 32 teeth. It's in the, my tongue is in the midst of the 32 teeth. Wow! Jesus said, "Where two or more gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now, Antichrist, think about that. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth. A nation whose tongue, 33, thou shalt not understand. Da, da, da. Psalm 5:9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. 33. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Psalm 10:7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Psalm 12, verse 3 and 4, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? That's your teeth and your tongue saying all of that. 33. My soul, Psalm 57:4, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Teeth and tongue equals 33. Think about it. Do words affect people? Yes, absolutely. In fact, the word is God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But there is an anti-God, an anti-Christ, the beast. Psalm 64:3, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Psalm 73:9, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Psalm 78:36, nevertheless they did flatter him with their mouth and they lied unto him with their tongues. Are people affected by the words that come out of people's mouths? Absolutely. There's even a lager, a beer, called the number 33. The number 33 is printed prominently on all bottles of Rolling Rock. Many have speculated on the significance of the number 33, that the 33 refers to 1933, the founding year of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't believe that. Other theories concerning the number 33 that are... Other theories concerning the number 33 are that there were exactly 33 stair steps from the brewmaster's office to the brewing floor in the original Latro Brewery. Also, the Pennsylvania fish and streams within the Commonwealth and the water that was used to brew this beer was taken from stream number 33. Deuteronomy 32:33 says their wine is the poison of dragon and the cruel venom of asps. Then, we have your back. I got your back, people. I'm behind you 100%. That means when the shooting starts, you'll get shot first, all right? Exodus 33:20. I'm going to read Exodus 33, but this is where Moses wanted to see God. And what did God show him? My back parts, but my face shall not be seen. It's 33 bones in your spine. This is the middle chapter of the Bible. The exact middle chapter of the Bible is Psalm 117. So let's do the math. Okay, let me get a calculator up on the screen for you. Because some people have argued that it's Psalm 118. No, it's not. So we have 1,189 chapters in the whole of the Bible. We divide that by 2. We come up with 594.5. Okay? So the 500, let me put this on the screen. The 594th chapter, let me slide that over there. Okay? So we can go, here's the chapter setting. We can go to the 594th chapter. Passed it up. There we go. Boom. It's Psalm 116. So Psalm 117 is the exact middle chapter. And it only has 2 verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. That's exactly 33 words. The spine of your Bible, the middle chapter of your Bible, has 33 words in it, just like your backbone. Now, that's why Kundalini focuses on the spine. Kundalini says that at the bottom part of your spine, which represents the pit, right? And does it not smell like sulfur? Okay? Stinks, right? The bottom of your spine is a coiled up serpent, and you must meditate and empty your mind so that that serpent can rise up the 33 bones of your spine, just like the 33 steps of Freemasonry. The Kabbalah. Kabbalah. You have the 10 circles, which represent the 10 divine beings, gods. These circles represent 10 gods. Just like the 10 toes of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, just like the 10 horns of the beast, they're divine beings, they're gods, little g gods, devils. But you combine it with these 22, you connect them with these 22 lines. So what's 22 plus 10? 32. But there is a hidden circle that makes 33. It's right, I don't know if you can see my mouse. Yeah, it's right there. That's the 33rd hidden circle. I think it represents the Antichrist. Isaiah 11, this is about the 7 spirits of the Lord. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. It's exactly 33 words there. Oh, I love this. The phrase, my salvation, is found exactly 33 times in Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The word sacrificed is found 33 times. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And that word sacrificed is 33 times in the King James Bible. This Bible is so perfect and so beautiful and so amazing. I love this. From Adam to Abraham, that's 20 generations. From Isaac now, it's 21 generations. Jacob, 22 generations. Judah, 23 generations. Then Judah, it says in Ruth chapter 4, verse 18, it gives the lineage of Judah. These are the generations of Perez, because Perez was born from Judah. He's 24. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon. And Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. David is the 33rd from Adam. Look at that! Isn't that just... it just blows my mind. Because David was a man after God's own heart. David represents Christ's first coming. Because his first coming, he had to destroy all of the enemies. And that's what David did. God wouldn't allow him to build a temple. But then Solomon comes along. He represents the millennial reign. He's got 1,000 women. 700 wives, 300 concubines. He's got 1,000 women. And God allows him to build the temple of God. And it's a picture of the 1,000-year reign. By the way, Solomon lived 1,000 years before Christ came. Man, I love this stuff. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's 12 words. And then in the same chapter, he said, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. That's 21 words. When you add those two together, you get 33 words total. Genesis 28:16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The things that he said there are 33 words exactly. And what did Jacob call this place? He called the name of the place Beth-El. And the phrase Beth-El is in the Bible 66 times. That's 33 times 2. Which is how your body, your brain communicates with your body. Through the nerve connections on the 33 spines, and I'm not going to get into that, but the brain speaks to the body by way of 66 nerve connections. This is how God speaks to us. I love this. And by the way, what did he see there? What did Jacob see there? When he called it, this is the house of God. What did he see? A ladder. He said, he dreamed a dream. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, is the ladder that brings us from earth to heaven. Man. Now, take a look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine books in the Bible that have at least 33 chapters. In other words, I went through and I looked at every book and made a list of all the books that have a chapter 33. There's 9 of them. So how do you get the number 9? It's 3 times 3. So let's do that. Let's just go to Genesis 33. And we're going to read. And we're going to get some wisdom and see what God says to us in these chapter 33s. Okay? And you're going to see either Christ or Antichrist. All right? You're going to see it. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Isn't that beautiful? Brothers that hated each other. Brothers that hated each other. Now loving one another. And verse 5, he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. So let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord unto Seir. That's where Esau is going to lead. He's going to live there at Mount Seir. That's what God gave him. So verse 15, and Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth. Now listen to this. Jacob and Esau meet. Jacob says, hey, why don't we just live together? And Esau says, no, that's not a good idea. I'm going to go to my place, you go to your place, and we'll just stay away from each other. Okay? But look at what Jacob did now. So he... Verse 17, he journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. Do you know what that means? Succoth is the Feast of Tabernacles, where they took palm branches and made little booths and sat in them. And it represented God dwelling among men. Do you get that? Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And they are dwelling with us in our tabernacle, our temple of God. Somebody say amen. Now, look at verse 18. And Jacob came to Shalem. Do you know what that is? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Jacob came to Jerusalem, Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel, which means God is the God of Israel. And that's the 33rd chapter of the Bible. Now, the difference between Jacob and Esau was always plain. Jacob was tender, a homeboy, sewed and cooked with his mother, mama's boy. But Esau was a beast. Remember when Jacob went in and pretended to be Esau, and he said, "Well, let me feel your arm," and he had goat skin on it. He felt the hair, and he said, "Yep, that's Esau." How hairy was Esau? There's a real disease called hypertrichosis, where people just grow fur all over their bodies. So Jacob represents Christ, Esau, the beast, in Genesis 33. Now, what else? Numbers 33, okay? Or excuse me, Exodus 33. Let's go there. Exodus, not Leviticus. Exodus 33. What's there? "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people, which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are stiff-necked people, and I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. The children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp." This is amazing, because Moses was supposed to put the tabernacle in the midst of the people, but instead he went over away from where they were camped and put the tabernacle up there. And basically he's saying, I'm going to prove now who is on God's side and who isn't by who comes to the tabernacle. So, verse 8, "And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." Look at that. "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Who is the Lord that can speak to Moses face to face? It's not God the Father. It was God the Son that was speaking to Moses, because Jesus is the image of God. So he's a representation. So Moses can speak to Jesus face to face, but he can't see God's face. And we're going to find this out in this chapter. So he said, Lord, we now have three people affected by COVID. Okay? Pray for our church, please. Pray for our church. Let's see here. Let's do this. Let's start in verse 14. "And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And I want to just ask you a question. Does God know you by name? When's the last time you visited with God? When's the last time you spent time with God instead of watching television or looking at stuff on the internet? Or when's the last time you just spent time talking to God and letting God talk back? Does God know you by name? Verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. This is Moses. Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, this is God, verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I love that. I love that. I serve God willingly because he is a merciful God. And all of you out there struggling with sin, I'm on your side. I'm with you. And I want you to know that you can call upon the name of the Lord. You can call God anytime. And ask him for help. Ask him to help you with, ask him to deliver you from things. Tuesday, I was at home and recorded a Pastor Mike online and dealt with marijuana. And people have called me and said that they're addicted to marijuana. They can't get off. Don't let anybody convince you that you can't get addicted to marijuana, because I know people that are. God's a merciful God, people. A merciful God. Long-suffering, too. Is he not? So anyway, he said in verse 20, he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. That's Exodus 33. Let me get back to this. The spine. In Exodus 33, God showed Moses his back. 33 bones. Hallelujah. And who does that represent? The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus was always present in the Old Testament, but he was always in a mystery. Whether he's the back part of God or he's the rock, he's the manna. I mean, he was everything in the Old Testament. They just didn't know him because he wasn't revealed to them. But when he was born in Bethlehem, he then became revealed to everybody. The mystery's over. This is the Son of God. So now, let's see if we can get back to this. The next book, Numbers 33. Let's read Numbers 33. There we go. Exodus. Leviticus only has 27. I think that's neat in itself. Because Leviticus is about killing animals to forgive sins. Okay? That's what it's about. It's about the shedding of the blood of animals in the 27 chapters of Leviticus. And the number 27 is 3 times 3 times 3. And that's the number of books in the New Testament. 3 times 3 times 3. I think it's just awesome. Leviticus is a foreshadow of the new covenant, because the lamb must be slain, the blood must be applied, and the blood must then cover the sins completely. Shout hallelujah! Now watch this. This is cool. This is cool. Numbers 33. It's going to give you a list of the journeys and the places where they stopped and camped. So Numbers 33, these are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord, and these are the journeys according to their goings out. They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the first day of the first month, and on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with an high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them, upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments. And the children of Israel removed from Ramses and pitched in Succoth. Now, Succoth is number one. It's the first place they camped. So now we're going to go from Succoth to Etham. Verse 7, from Etham to Pi-hahiroth. From Pi-hahiroth, they went and journeyed in the wilderness of Etham and pitched in Mara. In verse 9, they removed from Mara and came into Elam, and in Elam there were 12 fountains. That's fifth place. Verse 10, they camped by the Red Sea. That's six. They removed from the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. That's seven. Verse 12, they took the journey out of the wilderness of Sin and camped in Dophka. That's eight. They parted from Dophka and encamped in Alush, that's 9, and they removed from Alush and encamped in Rephidim, and that was 10. There was no water for the people to drink. And I'm not going to count all of these right now, but I've counted them. And starting with Succoth, every verse has a different place where they camped. So let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, come on, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Now, in verse 37, that's the 33rd place that they camped. They removed from Kadesh and pitched in Mount Hor in the edge of the land of Edom. And watch what happens in the 33rd place where they camp. Verse 38, and Aaron the high priest went up into Mount Hor, which is the 33rd camp, at the commandment of the Lord, and died there. Look at that. In the 40th year after the children of Israel will come out of the land of Egypt, the first day of the fifth month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. The high priest, in the 33rd place they camped, died. That's a picture of Jesus Christ, who when he was 33 years old, was slain for our transgressions and sins. As the high priest of the order of Melchizedek, somebody say amen. Wow. It just blows my mind. What's next? What's the next chapter? Deuteronomy 33. All right, let's bring that back up. Deuteronomy 33. There we go. Deuteronomy 33. Now watch this. I'm probably going to lose my voice today. In the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses, because Moses is about to die. Moses dies in Deuteronomy. And he's fixing to die. 120 years, divided up into three ways. He spent 40 years in Egypt, 40 years being married and tending to sheep, and then 40 years leading the people to the edge of Canaan, but God wouldn't allow him to go in. And the picture of that is the law cannot bring you to the promised land. Moses can't do it. Only Jesus can. That's why he had to die there. 120 years. Okay? So Moses now is going to bless everybody in the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them, and he shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. Somebody says, oh, look at that. Look at that. That is exactly what's going to happen in Revelation 19. The Lord is going to come with Jesus Christ on a white horse, is going to come riding with his 10,000 of his saints. That's us. Riding with him to rule the earth for 1,000 years. Amen. I needed this. I did. I've got a lot of worries right now. You got people getting sick in my church, COVID. Okay? And I'm worried about my family. I just have a lot of worries right now. A lot of things, heavy burdens. I'm glad I have a friend here. I have a friend. I don't have a brother, never had a brother. Until I met Jesus. And he's with me closer than any brother. Anyway, verse 2, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Right hand. Remember, the book is in God's right hand in Revelation 7. How many bones are in your hand? 27. That's an American flag, by the way. And you look at verse 3, yea, he loved the people, all the saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet, every one shall receive of thy words. You see, the number 33 also deals with wisdom and knowledge. Okay? Jeremiah, which we're going to go to, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Okay? God's calling. I've got a phone call. I'll have to take that later. Anyway, verse 4, Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, and he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people, and let his hands be sufficient for him, and thou be in help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with the Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Verse 10, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Verse 11, bless, Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands and smite through the loins of them that rise against him and of them that hate him, and they rise not again. And people, I want to tell you something. When people mess with you, when devils work in people and people mess with you, remember something. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. When they mess with you, they're messing with Jesus. Understand, fix that in your mind. Comprehend that. Understand that. God is with you, in you. And I guarantee you, he will get revenge on those who persecute you. I promise you. No, God promises you that. Verse 12, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things that put forth by the moon. I want to understand that. I was trying to look at how photosynthesis works. and literally, plants eat protons, which are particles of light. No, not protons, photons. The plants literally eat photons. They take that in and ingest it, and then there's something that converts it so they can release oxygen and they can grow and they can get nutrients from the ground. But they need the sun. So do you. You're a tree planted by the living waters, and that's great, but you need the sun shining on you to eat the photons of light. You know, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? The Word of God. Eat it like Ezekiel did, like John did. Eat this roll. Verse 15, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, and let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. They shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad, he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the, he's blessing each and every tribe here. He provided the first part of for himself, and because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated, and he came with the heads of the people, he executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. Dan, and of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp, he shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. And thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy day, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and his excellency in the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and they and shall say, destroy them. Somebody say amen. God will destroy your enemies. He will. Give him time, patience. Keep standing. If you fall, get back up. That's what just people do. Verse 28, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine also. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Listen to what God is saying to you. You are a people saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. He's speaking to us. We are Israel. Not by birth, by adoption. God's still going to work with the Jews. I believe that with all my heart. What's the next chapter? 33. Deuteronomy. First, Second Chronicles. Ooh, Second Chronicles. Joshua doesn't have 33. Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, no 33. Second Chronicles has a chapter 33. Guess who's in there? Push the button. Manasseh. one who did the 13 things so he could do the 14th thing, like on the pyramid, the capstone, 13 layers, 13 levels. The capstone sits on top of that unfinished pyramid with the all-seeing eye. It represents Antichrist. Now watch this. This is good stuff. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Did you know the word? Let me show you this. He reigned 55 years. Do you know the word Satan is found exactly 55 times in the King James Bible? Did you know the word devils is found exactly 55 times in the King James Bible? Somebody, listen to that. Oh my goodness. Anyway, think about that number. Verse 2, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination to the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So he's going to represent Antichrist here. Now watch this. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. I can't understand that. I cannot comprehend bringing forth a child of your own seed, only to throw him into the fire. I just don't grasp that. That's depravity. He caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. The Hebrew word Gehenna means the valley of Hinnom. And there was a lot of fires there. Some people say that's where they put all their trash and they lit it on fire. And so Gehenna is supposed to be a picture of that. And that could be, I don't know. But anyway, he also observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit. And with the wizards, he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. 13 things he did here so far. But the 14th thing, he set a carved image, the idol in which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all I have commanded them according to the whole law and the statutes and ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. They wouldn't listen. Verse 11, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Isn't that interesting that God put thorns there? They bound him in the thorns. You see, Manasseh was a sinner, a great sinner. And because of sin, the sting of death is upon us. We are going to die, all of us, one way or the other. We're going to die. Sting of death. Unless, of course, the translation takes place while we're still alive. Who knows? Verse 12, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Look at that. And prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Somebody say amen. Now let me preach to you for a minute. Whenever you live in sin. But we all know what sin is. Sin is a lot of things. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. We all know what sin is. And when you live in sin, God brings a principality, a power, a cruel authority to put on you so that you will find yourself in bondage and you can't get out. Now, God could have killed Manasseh. Could have just killed him outright because he put an idol in the holy place. Like that Catholic church up in Chicago. I've talked about this, it's been years ago. There's a Catholic church in Chicago that has a representation of the Ark of the Covenant, and then they've got a statue of the Virgin Mary sitting on top of it. Are you kidding me? And it's just, and that's an abomination. The Ark of the Covenant is the throne of God, and they've got what they call the Queen of Heaven sitting on it. Good grief. Talk about people that are blinded. My goodness. So, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. See, you can cry out to God when you get in that bondage. You can cry unto God, and God will save you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's very simple. You cry out unto the Lord. It's that simple. Verse 14. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon, in the valley even to the entering in at the fish gate, encompassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took, look at this. I mean, this guy got right. He took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem and cast them out of the city. Look at that. For anybody, people, listen to me. For anybody who has given themselves over to sin, there is a way that God will make for you to escape. And then He will put it in your heart to get rid of all of those things. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know what God can do. He's such a good, awesome God. I love Him with all my heart. And I just love to serve Him. God put it in His heart to change, to put away all those gods, get that one out of that He put there in the Ark of the Covenant. He took that out, cast it out of the city. I don't want this stuff anymore. I serve the one true God. Amen. Somebody shout. Verse 16, he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed there on peace offerings. Think of 33 in Christ on the cross and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sin, and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places, and set up the groves and graven images before he was humbled. Behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. And Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, but he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Manasseh may have found salvation, but the sin of the father is passed on to this third and even the fourth generation. So Aman, his son, didn't like what daddy did. He did that which was evil. For Aman sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Aman trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him, and he slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against the king Aman, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. So with Manasseh you have like a picture of maybe of Christ. Then Aman, his son, at the Antichrist, serving these other gods, causing everybody to do it. What else? What other book do we have here? Psalm 33. Well, let's put Psalm 33 up here. A new Psalm would have 33 chapters at least. It's got a chapter 33. Let's read what it says. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, and sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice. Psalm 33:3. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Somebody say amen to that. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord are the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He's talking about Jesus Christ here. He gathereth the waters of the sea. And think of, what did he say? By the breath of his mouth. 32 teeth, one tongue, 33. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and he maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy. Somebody say amen. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let the mercy of the Lord, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. 22 verses in Psalm 33. 22 is the number for Revelation. And that's a blessing to everybody that reads it. It's a picture of Christ. Now, what's the next one? Isaiah 33. Let's go to Isaiah 33. There we go. Isaiah 33. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled. Antichrist. And dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to the deal, end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee, but thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in... Or let me read that again. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. The arm God uses to bring us in and hold us in tight and give us protection. Let's see here. By the way, there's 3 bones in the arm. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The arm of the Lord. And I love this. Verse 3, at the noise of the tumult, people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. As the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord, think of locusts. Think of the what's in the pit. Locusts. The Lord is exalted, for he dwindleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Wisdom, and listen to this now. 33 is the number for wisdom. Or foolishness, if it's opposite. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Mm. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without, the ambassadors of peace shall weep. The highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceaseth, he hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the cities, he regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness. And Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I arise, saith the Lord, and now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Listen to Jesus now. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted and will lift up myself. Who raised Jesus from the dead? God. But Jesus is God. You shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns, there's thorns again. Cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners of Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood and shutting his eyes from seeing evil. People, think about that phrase. Shutting your eyes so that you don't see evil. Think of the internet and all the things that you can see on the internet. Better cover your eyes. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Are you seeing this now? You think God's going to let his people go hungry? Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold a land that is very far off. Let's talk about heaven, I believe. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt... Listen to this now. Listen. This is the 33rd chapter of Isaiah. Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, and of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Listen to that. I know some of you probably just don't like this, but there are people who have encountered, I will call them alien spirits. And they said that when they spoke, they could not understand their language. So, just like the children at the aerial school in Zimbabwe, the saucer landed on their playground. 60 kids saw it happen and saw these aliens come like gliding out, like floating across the ground. And when the alien made eye contact with one girl, he planted all these images in her mind. That's wicked stuff. These are devils, people. These are devils. And yes, they do ride chariots. They ride chariots. God does. So anyway, God said that when those people show up, I think God is saying, we're going to get out of here. I may be wrong. They're wrong lots of times. But look at that verse again. Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of deeper speech than thou canst perceive, a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. And then he said, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem as a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Think of your tabernacle, where God dwells right now inside your body. Zion is always Jerusalem in heaven, which is going to come down one of these days in a new earth. Verse 21, but there shall be glory, but there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars. Galley's like a ship with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. Listen to this. This is our government. For the Lord is our judge, that's the judicial branch. The Lord is our lawgiver, that's the congressional branch. The Lord is our king, that's the executive branch. Right there in Isaiah 33. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Read more Bible, not less. Thy tacklings are loose, they could not well strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail, then is the prey of a great spoil divided, and the lame take the prey. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Jeremiah. I know this by heart. Jeremiah 33. Because that's one of my favorite passages. Somebody sent a poster. We've got it hanging in the sanctuary. Of Jeremiah 33:3. Look at this. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. Now, let me say something. Today I recorded the second part of the Watchman that I recorded before, dealing with persecution and tribulation of the saints and what's going to come against us. I just recorded it today. Started losing my voice during that. And I'll have it ready and I'll have it all edited and everything by Sunday. We'll release it Sunday. But people, you can be in a prison right now without actually being in a jail right now. You could be in bondage to sin. Somebody called me, and I'm not going to give a name. I'm honored. I'm absolutely honored. I'm humbled. Because you people out there, some of you have never met me. But you feel like you can talk to me and tell me things. And this person called me and confessed to me that they are addicted to marijuana. Now, according to the Marijuana Society of America, I made that up, they say you can't get addicted. But I know some people that are. They smoke it a lot. And it damages brain. It does. We used to call them burnouts when I was in school. He's a burnout. Why? Because the drugs they had taken had messed their mind up. But anyway, you're in prison. The person that called, you're in prison. And you need a savior. Jeremiah was in prison, but not because he had done something wrong. It's because he was being persecuted. But God came to him and visited him, didn't he? Look at that verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. You know who the word of the Lord is, don't you? It's Jesus. The word of the Lord. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So, when you're in prison, Jesus will come and visit. And then, see, the whole point of prison is to make a person hate being in prison so bad that when they're released, they don't ever want to go back, and it's supposed to cause them to change the direction that they're going in. Understand that? So, God may have you in prison. Those of you who drink, those of you who still take drugs, smoke marijuana, those of you who are diving into very nasty, dirty, filthy things on the internet, you're in prison. And at some point, prison has to reform you. You have to be like my brother-in-law who built this room for me before he died. Where's this picture? That's him. He lived a life that was so wicked. I mean, so wicked. He told me he counted up probably about 180 women. Went through 7 wives. Started dealing with meth. Shot a man in his house over a drug deal. Gone bad. And was going to kill him because he didn't want him going to the police. Didn't want him to go to the hospital. And his buddies grabbed the guy and ran out. And the police never did deal, but he ended up in jail anyway. And the long story short, his 7th wife kicked him out. So now he's living in a little mobile home owned by his father. He rented it out. And I had already tried to lead him to the Lord. I baptized him. He said he asked Jesus into his heart while he was in jail. So I baptized him, but I could tell that there was still so much of that sin in his life that it just didn't leave. So he came to a family gathering one time. He's just pale as a ghost. He had an oxygen bottle with the oxygen going. He was dying of COPD. He smoked 3 packs a day. And when his 7th wife kicked him out, he moved in there and automatically started coming to church. Automatically. I love this story. He just sat by his mom and dad. Brother Sterling and Sister Glory, they always sit there in the front. You see the back of their heads all the time. Sterling is one of our deacons, a godly man, loves the Lord, good man. I love that man. And so he just started coming to church, and I would see him holding his Bible there, King James Bible. And while I was preaching, I could hear him say, amen. And I'm going, there's a lot of four-letter words that man said, and amen was never one of them. Now he's saying amen to me. And at one time, he hated me. He hated me. Because he knew what I was. And then he came out of the service one time, and he said, I'm on disability. And he said, but if there's anything that you need done, I can do it. I said, okay. He said, I want to do something for God. It's okay. And I don't remember how long it was, but one day I woke up and I had this room in mind. And I called him. I said, I got a little project for you. So he came over and built this room. And he said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I have no idea. Most of what I do comes out of this room. The Pastor Mike Online, of course, obviously. But my study time is usually done in this room. To just get, it's a quiet place where I can concentrate. And he came to me one Sunday morning early, I'll never forget it. He came in my office about 9 o'clock before church. He sat down with his Bible and he said, hey, Augard. He said, how will I know that I'm really saved? And I told him, I said, Steve, you are. 100% you are. I see such a difference in you that there's a new man there that wants to be right with God. So I read some scriptures to him and I hugged him and we prayed together. And that Friday he died in his sleep. He's in heaven now. He was in prison. But the Lord came to him in prison. And the Lord will come to you too. He will. Whatever prison you're in, Jesus will come and visit you. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, and all for all those wickedness which I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Revelation here. He's going to reveal peace and truth. That's Jesus Christ. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. God is a God of second chances. Somebody get happy. Verse 8, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity and that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again, there shall be a herd in this place, which ye shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. Listen to this. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. Who's that? Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. The voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And all of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Amen. See, in Babylon, though, in this verse here, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. You know what? Babylon, God said about Babylon, they will not hear the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. In other words, I believe there are churches that are Babylon or Babylonian or Babylonish. harlots. And God says, they will never hear the voice of the Lord, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, which is this. They keep turning away and turning away and turning away from the Word of God. I feel sorry for them. Verse 12, thus saith the Lord of hosts, again, in this place which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down, and the cities in the mountains, and the cities of the vale, and the cities of the south, and the land of Benjamin, and the places about Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And he does that through Jesus Christ, dying at 33 years old on the cross. Resurrected again now. Verse 15. And in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness. Who is that? That's Jesus, to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. That's Jesus going to reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. In those days shall Judah be saved, and the Lord shall dwell safely, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should not be day and not in their seasons, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites and the priests and my ministers. So God says, as surely as the sun rises and sets, and as surely as the moon goes around, if they should ever stop, God says, that's when I'll break my covenant. But people, they're never going to stop. God's not going to break his promise. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not what this people has spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them.
Wow.
You see, even now, those Jews that live in the land of Israel, what's the president been doing? He's been arranging peace with all of the Arab nations that hated Israel. He is bringing peace to them. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Bible, Jesus said that. God's going to have the seed of David sit on the throne eternally. That's Jesus Christ. Now, Lamentations does not have 33 chapters in it, but Ezekiel does. And I think Ezekiel's the last. Am I right? Yep. I was right. Ezekiel 33. This is what I named the Watchman video broadcast after. Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, when, not if, but when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet. What's the trumpet? Let's go to Revelation. Chapter 1. I, John, let's see here. Yeah. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, think about it, and in the kingdom and in patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, and to Philadelphia, and Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And that's when he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. So the trumpet that Ezekiel is told to sound is, listen to this now. We have an expression, oh, you're blowing your own trumpet. You're tooting your own horn. What does that mean? It means that you're trying to take credit and get everybody to favor you and think you are some great person. You're blowing your own trumpet. And you know what? What really bothers me, and I mean it bothers me, to hear fundamentalist, evangelical, or King James only preachers read one verse at the beginning of their sermon and for 45 minutes yell and scream and talk about themselves. I absolutely hate that. That's not preaching. That's bragging. That's boasting. You're not helping those people. You're starving them to death. Give them the word of God and give them lots of it. I was at a gathering of preachers one time, and it was my turn to preach, and I stood up and I asked them the question, can we, as pastors, lead somebody to the Lord without the Word of God? And they all said, no, we have to have the Word of God. I said, okay. But let me ask you another question. Is it possible to get people to the altar with our words? Dead silence. The answer is yes. We can give one verse or part of one verse and for 45 minutes or an hour be talking to people, get them down to the altar, and are they changed now? Are they transformed because of what the preacher said? No. They can only be changed by the Word of God. The trumpet that we're supposed to use is this Bible. Verse 3. Son of man, speak unto, verse 2, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and looked and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman seeth the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Sound the alarm. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of the Lord at my mouth, and warn them from me. Give people Bible verses. Do you know, and I don't even know, But there's a trend now on Facebook. And when I look at my Facebook Messenger, there are literally hundreds of people sending me YouTube or Facebook videos or some other kind of video to watch. But almost never do people share the Word of God. And I've said this many times. It's a very, very, to me, a very serious issue. Trying to convince people to stop spreading internet rumors that you have no idea whether they're true or not. You have no idea. And you spread them around, and then something else comes in, you spread that around, something else comes in, you spread that around. Hey, you got to watch this. And I think you are better served instead of watching all these conspiracy videos. I think you're better served reading the Bible. Does that make sense? Did I offend anybody? I don't want to, but I have to say certain things. Start sharing the Word of God. This is what I'm doing today. Giving you the Word of God. And you understand, a watchman who blows the trumpet every time a leaf shakes, and people get ready for war, but then nothing's coming because it wasn't true. He sounded a false alarm. And if he keeps doing that, then all of a sudden, people don't listen to him. But what if he actually saw the enemy coming? And he blew the trumpet, but nobody heard. Nobody listened. Because they said he does that all the time. He just blows the trumpet. That's my point in this. I think everybody in some way has a watchman type responsibility. Watchman over your children, watchman over your family, watchman over the people you work with. As a pastor, I'm a watchman. And I want you to hear God's heart here before I close out. Verse 8, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And I have blood on my hands. I do. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from it his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, I love this. This is my favorite verse. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God hates to judge these people. But that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And my question to you is, why would you die? Why would you forsake the Word of God? Forsake your responsibility to attend God's service, whether you do it physically here or you're doing it online? Because I have concerns about people. Great concerns. Deep concerns. And I pray for them all the time. I don't want anybody to die. I don't want to sound a false alarm ever. Now, I'm a human. I'm going to make a mistake every now and then. But if I share something with people, I have to know that it's probably true. By the way, while I'm saying this, last week I talked about human child sacrifice, satanic sacrifice, and I played a video of this man from the Netherlands. Now, I have some followers that live in Holland, and they reached out to me and they said, you know, this guy really doesn't have they think that he's not who he said he is, and he's a very questionable man. So I wanted to say publicly that that video that I showed of him talking about being in a satanic cult where they did human child sacrifices, and he got out of that, I can't guarantee you that what he said actually happened. So, you know, I can't retract. I can't go back and say, well, I'm not saying that. I put the video out there. I don't know the guy. He may be telling the truth, but he may be lying. But in as much as I showed you from the Word of God that God hates and knows about and is aware of human child sacrifices, since it has gone on in times past, we know that it's going on right now. And it's possible. It is highly possible that some high-ranking politicians have been part of that. Frazzle drip. Some of you know what that is. Okay? So, I know I'm going to be wrong every now and then. But when I give you the Word of God, like we did today, those words are true. Be a watchman, but be a responsible watchman. Don't let zeal that somebody said they discovered something overtake you and you find out that later on it's a lie. It's a gimmick. And I've been watching videos of how people make special effects now with computers and all that stuff. And I'm just telling you, I just don't trust a lot of things that I see in movies, TV, film, and YouTube videos. I just don't trust it. So anyway, it's been good to be with you today. I've enjoyed myself. I needed this little trip through the Word of God. All these chapter 33s. I love them. I woke up early and I was just reading them over and over and over again. It brought joy to me, and I wanted to share that joy with you. We have a Savior named Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the trumpet of God. His Word is right and true, and everything is in order in this book. That's why I love it so much. Pray for me. Please pray for me. Pray for our church. It's going to be a hard thing to go through. I don't know how many people are going to end up being sick. So just pray for our church. Okay? God bless you. I love you. You're the reason why I do what I do. And I want to keep doing it.